Thank you, the Island family. As you pray about our missionaries, and pick up a prayer guide on your way out if you haven't already. The Island certainly know what it's like to be on the mission field, and we appreciate the joy of being able to hear from them this morning. Listen, as you think about God's mission for His kingdom, you just need to know that you're a part of that in so many ways. Being able to pray for and to give to support international missions is an incredible privilege. We call these missionaries our missionaries because we are a part of the Southern Baptist Convention who sends these missionaries out. And as you well know, our church has not only engaged in partnering with Southern Baptist international missionaries, but other international missionaries that are not a part of the mission board. We are a missions-minded church, and part of our task in God's kingdom is to pray for our missionaries and to give to missions. So certainly, I expect us to meet our goal of $25,000, but give as the Lord leads you, and praise the Lord for these incredible opportunities. Take your Bible, if you will, and turn to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. As a kid growing up, I remember being a part of missions organizations. Many of you do too. Most of us remember the titles RAs and GAs, and I remember going to RA camp as much as I remember going to RAs. Now, that wasn't because I was a mission-minded kid. That was because I liked camping and going fishing. And I remember, boy, I'd be excited about getting all my fishing stuff ready, and I would go fishing early in the morning if I could sneak out of the cabin without the counselor waking up. But they had a lot of things going on at RA camp, and I remember one of the things one year was a competition in archery, and we had a lot of preliminary competitions in that and many other things too along the way. And the second to last day, they would call certain names to come who were the finalists in those activities, and my name was called as a finalist in archery, and I said, well, okay, I'll go do that. And so in that last competition for archery, I was about the third one in line to go, and I had already had some pretty good scoring going in, and so boy, I pulled back and I aimed at that target that was about 30 feet away, and boy, I hit the bullseye. Doesn't that feel good first time? We had four arrows, and so boy, I thought I was doing good. I pulled back again, hit the bullseye. I thought this is going to be a shoe-in, no problem at all. My numbers were great, and so, you know, pride goes before a fall. I pulled back and I shot. This time I missed the bullseye. Matter of fact, I missed the target. Matter of fact, I missed the completely missed the bale of hay the target was on. But my numbers were so good on my fourth arrow, I didn't even have to hit the bullseye to win. There were two circles outside the bullseye, and would I hit on the inside of that second circle, I would win. But I missed by about an inch. And so when the awards night came, my name was not called. I did not get an award. I did not get up in front of anybody. Nobody noticed me at all. I failed. I lost. But one of these days, my name will be called. And it'll be called by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And it won't be because of any competition I won. It won't be because of any merit I deserve. It will be because Jesus Christ Himself hit the bullseye when He went to pay the price for my sin. He hit the bullseye because His blood was more than sufficient to pay the price for my sin. His sacrifice was perfect. He is the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And for that, I, as well as I know you are, we are thankful. Amen. thankful. I want to talk to you this morning about being a thankful one. Luke chapter 17, verse 11, we're going to begin there. The scripture says, "And it came about while Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem that he was passing between Samaria and Galilee." Now, usually when you and I are reading the Bible, this is not a verse at which we stop because it doesn't seem to gather much attention from us. We want to go on to the story about the 10 lepers that Jesus healed. But I want to stop at this verse that introduces this story because you need to know that at this point in the ministry and life of the Lord Jesus Christ, on his way to Jerusalem meant that he knew that he was on his way to Jerusalem to be falsely accused. He was on his way to Jerusalem to be arrested. He was on his way to Jerusalem to be tried. He was on his way to Jerusalem to be sentenced to death. He was on his way to Jerusalem to be made to carry his own cross to Calvary and be nailed to that cross to die for you and me. Now, usually when I or you have some heavy burden on our heart, something we are facing in life, the last thing we seem capable to do is just to give ourselves to ministry. Otherwise, we have this weight, we're burdened down by it, and so it is captivating our attention. And yet Jesus, on the way to Jerusalem, still was ministering to people. He was still giving himself to others. On the way to Jerusalem, and it says he passed between Samaria and Galilee. Now, even if you've been to the Holy Land, you probably have not passed by this particular place. And even had you, you wouldn't have known the racial tension in that moment. In between Samaria and Galilee, that border at which would be much potential hostility. The Samaritans hated the Jews. The Jews hated the Samaritans. They did not get along at all. Seemingly that when the northern kingdom had been taken into exile into Assyria, some had come back in the history that we know and had intermarried with Assyrians and some other Gentile backgrounds. Not only was it a racial thing, but it was a who are you worshiping thing because of the intermarrying with people who worshiped other gods. And so there was all kind of tension between the Jews and the Samaritans. This was not a place that people wanted to pass. As a matter of fact, we're told many times that the Jews, if they were headed in a certain direction and the quickest way would have been through Samaria, it didn't matter to them. They went the long way around not to have to pass there. And apparently there was a village here that was on these outskirts, and it was a place where some lepers were hanging out. The scripture says in verse 12, as he entered a certain village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. You know, according to the law, if you were a leper and you came in contact with anybody, you had to cover your mouth, or as the Old Testament says, your mustache. You had to cover your mustache and say, "Unclean, unclean." Boy, does that remind you of anything? Isn't it something that today when you go in different places and you see somebody with a mask, it's still something that we do not want to live in? And you see somebody with a mask and sometimes you're thinking, okay, do they think I'm sick or are they sick? And so you've got this stigma that goes along with this mask. Let me tell you what, there was an incredible stigma if you from a distance got anywhere near anyone and you were required by law to warn them, "I have leprosy." A couple of months ago when my brother tested positive with COVID, I was talking to him on the phone and he was feeling fine. He was a little draggy, as some of you were going through this. But, you know, he said, "It's like having leprosy. All of a sudden, you feel like, well, nobody wants to be around you. You're not supposed to be around anybody." Those of you who've been in quarantine know what that's like. And so, according to the law, you had to cry out unclean. And in this case, people knew. You weren't just wondering. if you tested positive. They knew you had leprosy. And so they were required to call that out. And I want you to know something that's so wonderful about our Lord. Even though I was leprous with sin, and even though you and I, as we gather around one another, we're hoping that people really don't know all of our sin, and so we feel a little protected in that knowledge, Jesus knows every bit of the leprosy of my sin and your sin, and He still wants to come our way. Isn't our Savior wonderful? And so Jesus is passing in this particular place, and this morning I'm wanting you to imagine that you're one of these lepers. I want us to put ourselves in that circumstance, and it might be that because we've had leprosy and we're in this circumstance that we've lost our job, we have to be away from family, we have lost this connection with society, we've had to draw attention to ourselves if we come into public and make a spectacle of ourselves. And so we hate this life, just like so many of us, whether we've had COVID or not. Boy, we're thinking, I hope we don't have to live like this the rest of our lives. But these lepers, they were wondering, will I ever be healed of this? Will I be able to get out of this? Because the Bible said back in Leviticus, they shall live alone and their dwelling shall be outside the camp. And so here's Jesus. And they're thinking, well, we've heard of Jesus. And maybe Jesus can help us. And you and I know He came from His throne in glory to hang out with folks who were leprous with sin. And so they took opportunity. I want to stop and say something right now. Later in this story, we're going to find out that one of these 10 lepers was a Samaritan. We certainly would assume that a good number of the others would have been Jews. We don't know exactly, but we certainly think that probably the majority of them were Jews. There may have been a couple others from some other area. We don't know. But one of them was a Samaritan. And it's very fascinating to me that in this place of incredible racial tension, in this place where Samaritans wouldn't want anything to do with Jews and vice versa, that these 10 men had put aside all of that racial tension because they had found very common ground that was so overwhelming in their life, it shut out all of that prejudice. What was it? They were lepers. And you and I realize that because of sin, that we find common ground with every single person who's ever lived on this planet. Sin. And we all need Jesus. And so there they are. Instead of being at odds with one another, they're a unit. A 10-man unit, and they've got a request. You notice in verse 13 it says they raise their voices. Why did they raise their voice? Because they're not standing close. Here we are again. You know how it is every now and then? Those of us who are used to being around one another, we may not wear a mask. We're talking face to face. And then there are some, it's like, let me put my mask on and you stay over there. You know, so we're not sure where you've been. Well, they were required to stand at a distance. And so they raised their voices, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And there again, they had to make a spectacle of themselves, but they're thinking, oh, if we could get out of this, how wonderful it would be. How awful would it be if every time you came in contact with somebody in public, you had to say, hey, I want you to know before you get close to me, I'm an ungodly sinner. This is the third First Baptist Church in a small town I've pastored. And one thing I found out as I get connected with different people in the community, in all three of these communities, there have been people who have very specifically told me, I can't go to your church. Well, why not? Well, I've messed up in my life, and I know all those folks down there know I messed up, and they'll wonder why in the world I'm even showing my face. Boy, I tell you. Of course, another thing I found out in a small town, everybody knows what you've done anyway. I've had people in my office literally telling me things, oh, if the people in the church knew, and I just can't come to church. I'm telling you, listen, if you knew everything they had done, you'd come right on. Listen, we're all in the same boat, because that which is at the foundation of our life, a life lost, when we do not have Christ filled with sin, we're all in that same boat. And that supersedes all other differences that we might seem to want to promote. We all need Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. And so, thank you, Lord, that you still come our way. Look at verse 14 with me. And when Jesus saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And it came about that as they were going, they were cleansed. Now, one of the things you realize that when you go back and you study the law in the book of Leviticus, I know y'all read that every week, it's one of your favorite books, but when you read in the book of Leviticus and you find the laws about the lepers, that when they got clean, they would then go to the priest. The priest would check that out. Then the priest would pronounce them clean. And they would go through some different sacrifices and a little period of time. We might call it a quarantine. But they didn't go to the priest until they were healed. So you realize in this story, Jesus first of all says, go show yourself to the priest. Well, the Jews anyway would have known that that was part of the process of being reinstated back into their community, okay? But at first when he said go, they weren't healed yet. They weren't healed until they were on the way. So you know how our minds work just that quick. You can imagine that as they took off, they're thinking, okay, we're going to show ourselves to the priest, but we're not healed yet. And you can imagine that they're thinking, okay, well, maybe this is going to be a little different, and maybe the priest is going to wave his hand, or maybe we've got to give a sacrifice or something, but we don't have anything. What in the world are we going to do? But Jesus said to go, so we're going. Listen, it doesn't matter if Jesus tells you to go. Go! You're going to be glad you did. Because we recognize that in this story, it was their obedience to what Christ said that triggered that. So much of the time, you and I are not willing to do what Jesus told us to do because we don't see anything yet. We like to see before we believe. But the idea about biblical faith is that you and I trust in the Lord Jesus even when we can't see. That's why Paul said we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it says, as they were going, they were healed. And so I don't know exactly what that looked like, but I'm just imagining. Here they go, they take off, they're going to the priest, their mind are wondering how this is going to work out. And all of a sudden, this scaly skin begins to fall off. Now that's happened before. But before, when the scaly skin would fall off, there would be red, irritated skin underneath again, still leprosy. But this time, the scaly skin begins to fall off, and underneath is new flesh. And it's pure as a baby's face. And all of a sudden, my goodness, we are here. Woo-hoo! I can hug my kids again. I can kiss my wife again. I can go to the synagogue. I can go to church again. And all of a sudden, there is this excitement and joy in life. And you and I need to realize that in Jesus Christ, he can pronounce us clean by the sacrifice of His blood. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. What a joy. Without Christ, we're all leprous with sin. But when we trust Him, when we say, Lord, have mercy on me, and He says, trust me, we can trust Him. Ain't God good? What a joy. I want you to look at verse 14. Oh, we looked at that one. Let's look at verse 15 and 16. Verse 15 and 16. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving thanks to Him. And he was the Samaritan. Fell on his face. This is the biblical definition of worship. Bowing before our Lord, giving Him honor. And so all of a sudden, all the being reinstated back into his family and life took a back seat to thanking the only one who could get him out of that, and that was Jesus. And I just think, well, we just had this Thanksgiving season. You know, when's the last time you fell on your face and thanked God for healing you of the leprosy of sin? You see, with us, it's a little bit different. With these 10 lepers, they all knew each one had leprosy. There wasn't any doubt. There wasn't a contest in between them which one had leprosy worse. They all had leprosy. They all had been outcast. They all had to publicly announce that they were unclean. They were all in the same boat. You and I feel like it's a little different. We feel like it's different because not everybody knows all my sin, all your sin. And so sometimes we just think, well, I'm not quite as bad as those other sinners. And so sometimes we don't feel like we're all in the same boat, but we're all in the same boat. And so we all should bow before the Lord, thanking Him that He healed us from the leprosy of sin. And this Samaritan did just that. And so there he is. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. Thank you for giving me my life back. Well, it says in verse 17, and Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but the 9, where are they? That's interesting, isn't it? The 9, where are they? Jesus was interested in the response of all 10. Jesus is interested in the response of every single one of us. What is my response to the fact that I've been healed of sin? I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I am saying I'm healed of it because of Jesus Christ. He has cleansed me. He has cleansed you by the blood when we place our faith in Him. And so He wants to know, what is my response to that? Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? So what is Jesus asking about the whole group? Where are they? And so the question is today for us, were we not cleansed from the leprosy of sin? Did Jesus not have to shed His blood for me to get life? And if He did, then I, like all others, should be incredibly thankful, because just like all 10 knew each other had leprosy and they were all in the same boat, each of us knows that each of us has sin that would condemn us to hell for eternity. And so therefore, when we place our faith in Christ, our response should be not only a voicing of thanksgiving, but a life of thanksgiving. Where are they? I mean, did they not say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us? I mean, how many people today, when they start their prayer, dear Lord, really? Is He your Lord? What did Jesus say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? See, because a lot of times, by all means, we want what we want, and we recognize Jesus as the one who can get it for us, and so we go to the Lord, and we ask Him to save us or help us or do this in our life, and we want that done, and the Lord helps us, and But what about the Lord part? What about the part when he says, I want to have something very specific to say about everything in your life? It's like, well, I didn't sign up for that. Not interested in that part of the relationship. Well, he is. Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Maybe years ago you cried out to God. You had some problem in your life, some relationship you had destroyed. Maybe you had some physical ailment. Maybe other problems were invading your life, and you cried out to Jesus Christ, and he helped you. Does that mean you're saved? About a quarter of a century ago, I'm old enough that I can say that. About a quarter of a century ago, I was pastoring a church. The sanctuary was about half this size, and so it was even easier for me to pick out visitors. And while I was preaching that morning, I noticed a lady visiting our church. I didn't know who she was. Later found out that she was a sister of one of our members. But our church was small enough that I could go out in the hallway and go outside into the parking lot right there. And so I visited with a couple of people, and I could tell that I wasn't going to get to that lady, and she walked out the door. And so I said, excuse me for a moment. And I walked out into the parking lot. She had already gotten in her car, but I tapped on her window, probably scared her to death. But anyway, she rolled the window down, and I introduced myself and just went ahead and began asking her about her relationship with Jesus Christ. And her response was, oh, I know the Lord is with me. I had an accident a while back, broke my leg, asked God to heal me, and he healed my leg. And that's wonderful. And in my mind, I'm thinking, yes, but he wants to heal your sin. Have you dealt with that yet? So you need to realize that when Jesus healed these 10 lepers, that didn't mean that they were spiritually saved. That's part of what the Lord did when he came, and certainly God even in the Old Testament times. But the Lord allows the sun to rise on the righteous and the unrighteous. He does things to let us know that he loves all of us. But you and I must place our faith in him if we are to experience eternal salvation. So even though Jesus Christ may have done something for you in the physical realm that made you happy, it doesn't mean that you are a saved person. Salvation is very specifically tied to your faith in Christ for his dying for you on the cross, that you might have forgiveness of sin. And as you place your faith in him as Lord and Master, then there is that salvation. You see, this Samaritan, he recognized, had Jesus not had mercy on them, he would still be stuck in the life of a leper. You and I need to realize, were it not for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would still be stuck in the life or death of a sinner. So where are we today? Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Well, we just come out of Thanksgiving season, and I know all of us would say this, how often are Christians to be thankful every day, all year long? But you've been around some others. Do those around whom you've been know you're thankful for what Jesus did for you as a result of being around you? Those of us who are parents recognize this a lot of times when you're dealing with your kids and what they're thankful for and what they're not thankful for. I want you to imagine that you are an older adult like myself, and you've got a couple of children who are grown adults, and one of your children accumulated so much debt in school loans that they were overwhelmed with that debt. Also, when that child got married, they felt like they had to have a brand new house, a brand new car, and so they accumulated more debt. And you just felt sorry for them, and you paid $50,000 to get them out of debt. Now, first of all, parenting class, don't do that. That's another story. But let's just say you couldn't stand it. You hated them to be under that burden. Aren't you glad God hated for us to be under the burden of sin? And so you paid $50,000 to get that child out of debt. Let's say your other child messed up in life, got in trouble with the law, went to jail, and the bail was set so high they had no chance of getting out, and you couldn't stand it. And so you got them out of jail, you paid the bail, you helped them get a job, you helped them restore some relationships. And so at this particular point, both of your children are going, oh, that's better. And it being Christmas time, so they come to see you for Christmas. Well, you're all out of money because you've spent it all on them, but you had enough to get each of them a stocking that you hung on the mantle, and you filled it with each of their favorite candies because you just wanted to give them a little something when they came home for Christmas. So they come home from Christmas, you have a great visit, you give them their stockings, and a couple days later on the way out the door, they say, thanks, Mom and Dad, the candy was so good. And that's all. Not thanks for $50,000 worth of debt. Not thanks for all the lawyer fees and getting me out of jail. Just thanks for the candy. You know, that's how we treat God when the biggest things for which we thank Him are the little things of this life that have no comparison to the weight of sin He removed in the blood of His only Son. When is the last time you fell on your face and thanked and praised Him? As the Scripture says, the Samaritan turned back to give glory to God. When's the last time you did that? That's what it says there in verse 18. Was no one found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner? Well, let's take another scenario. Okay, let's say you're one of the Jews that was in the bunch and you're going home. Now, are you excited? Yes. If somebody came up to you and said, are you glad Jesus healed you? You would say yes. Okay? But you're so busy getting your life back the way you want it, you did not turn back and give glory to God. You're wanting to get back to your life, your home, your work, your synagogue, whatever it is. And so let's say that you go to the synagogue, and of course, first of all, if they had had Mass, they would have done like this. And they would have wanted to know, did the priest pronounce you clean? Because if he didn't, you can't come in. But you're telling them, oh, listen, I'm clean, and look, I don't have leprosy anymore, and I did go to the priest, and I've been pronounced clean. And so, boy, you're getting to go back to church, and you've gotten reinstated, and boy, you're excited. So the whole church is talking about, hey, the one that was a leper has come back to the synagogue. And so the next week, you go back to the synagogue, and you're sitting there, and you're just, oh, ain't life great. And guess who the guest speaker is that day? Jesus comes in. You know, Jesus used to go to the synagogues. And Jesus would certainly do what He did many times. We knew one time He had the book of Isaiah, and He began to read about Himself in the book of Isaiah. But Jesus reads that day, and when He finishes reading that day, He says, and I have a story I want to tell you about giving glory to God. And He begins to tell a story about 10 lepers He met on the border of Samaria and Galilee. And boy, everybody's ears perked up and they were listening to this story. And the leper said, man, he's telling a story about me. This is great. And boy, he's just so excited. But see, this guy was so busy running off to the priest, he didn't know what the Samaritan did. He didn't care. And so in the midst of the story, Jesus is talking about how these 10 lepers got healed, but one of them turned around to say thank you. And immediately the smile comes a little bit off your face, and well, maybe they'll just think that's me. Until Jesus said, and he was a Samaritan. Then they know it's not you. So what am I saying today? Here we are in church. Whether anybody knows or not, we're in the story of lepers whom Jesus healed by His blood. Is Jesus' story a story where he includes you in one of the ones who turn back to give glory to God? Were there not 10 healed? Were there not a couple of hundred healed? Where are they? Are they at my feet? Are they giving glory to God? Have they committed their life to me? Or did they just get the healing and go their merry way? Where are you today? If only one out of every 10 here has given glory to God, would you be that one? Another thing I think about is I think about this passage. I think about now that I've been healed from leprosy. A leprosy that's much worse than the physical condition. But the leprosy of sin, the wages of which is eternal death, and I've been healed of that. Then when I come across someone else who has leprosy, the leprosy of sin, and they've not been healed, and they're just really not a nice person. You know, sometimes, again, in every church I've pastored, I will hear about folks who are not churchgoers, but they're good people. Okay. But let's say this person you come across, leprous with sin, and they're not a nice person. You know, we've all lived around folks who are just not nice people. And they're not even nice people, and we're just tempted to, But do we not remember that's exactly where I was, leprous with sin? No matter what people knew or not, God knew, and he still came my way and he saved me. So this person who's just really not nice at all, they just need to meet Jesus. And I can tell them what he can do for somebody with leprosy, because he did it for me. Verse 19, and he said to this Samaritan, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Have you been pronounced clean by Jesus? Let me tell you something. If you've been pronounced clean by Jesus, you don't have to go through anybody else's ritual for them to say you're clean. You're clean. Amen? But I think in this case, your faith has made you well. In other words, there was something different when this man finally got up and went away. He was healed by faith, not just physically, but in his heart. How thankful we should be, understanding the depth of the destruction of our sin. Leprosy in biblical times made you an outcast. You had to tell everybody. You couldn't be around anybody until you were clean. What about the leprosy of sin today? Well, the leprosy of sin separates us from God until we are clean. And the only way to be clean is through the blood of Jesus Christ. So, were there not 10 cleansed, but the 9, where are they? Are you the one that's turned back and give glory to God? Are you part of the 9 that's just gone your merry way? Where are you today? Are you truly washed in the blood of Jesus? Let me pray with you. Thank you, Lord, for your love and grace. Thank you for the blood. Thank you that it is more than sufficient to heal us of this leprosy of sin. Thank you that you give us life, that we may walk before you in the land of the living. Father, so many folks today are isolated, not just because of COVID, but they're isolated in their own minds and hearts from that which is truly life because they do not know you. Lord, those of us who have experienced your salvation, may we again personally bow before you and thank you, worshiping you, recognizing that were it not for you, we'd still be lost in the life of one leprous with sin. But Lord, we have been given life in you, and may others be able to hear that testimony from us who are so isolated in the grip, in that which is such a burden, being consumed with and in bondage to sin. Thank you that you are the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.